Nature has a way sometimes of reminding man of just how small he is. She occasionally throws up the terrible offsprings of our pride and carelessness to remind us of how puny we really are in the face of a tornado, an earthquake, or a Godzilla.
I was in East Hollywood and I got out, y'all. I made it out.
You don't like East Hollywood?
It wasn't great. I was in a weird apartment that had kind of strange vibes and it's kind of bad memories. And I was sort of in a situation, similar situation to Sam. I was like, it's such a nice apartment and I got fun roommates that I like. And then they one by one dropped off just because we couldn't afford rent, you know, because of this. Yeah. We got this pestilence.
What streets were you on? I mean, you don't live anymore, so you can tell it now.
Normal and Vermont.
Okay, so you Normal and Vermont. That's a little, yeah. It's a little testy over there.
Oh, sure. My friend Monica drove a Honda Element, and she was buying a new catalytic converter for that thing every 3 weeks, just because people would get down there and pop it off, sell it. Those were $60 a pop, man, and that's a tall ass car. it's over by the Virgil, you know, downhill from the Virgil.
There's that thing called the Virgil Normal right there, right?
Virgil Normal, and they got arguably, some people will tell you, the best Tacos Pastor in town right there out front of the Virgil.
At that truck.
Okay. Truck's great. Yeah, comes with the pineapple.
It's incredible. It's got to come with the pineapple.
That section of Vermont and Santa Monica is the scary, like, has the worst energy ever. Because the bus flies through there. People are always, like, crowding the crosswalk. And I've definitely seen like multiple people just bleeding.
Sure.
Just at they went to the blood store on the corner. That's how much blood they have. Yeah.
So it's already got kind of a scrappy vibe, kind of a spooky, almost like a dangerous amusement park vibe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this was left to go a little bit long and it's still fun, but it's kind of spooky. And then one time I came back from downtown, I was riding the subway and I got off of the subway and no shit, in the time that I had gone to work and come back on the subway, they had literally erected a carnival on the street. And like no traffic was running and it was like 10:30. So I was like, what the fuck train did I get on, man?
Yeah, I think it has like a Venus flytrap element. They're like, there's a wing stop and to try to like lure you in and then eat you.
Yeah.
It's right there by LACC. So I used to have a friend who lived on the street right there, and I would drop her off at night after like improv shows and stuff like that, and we would just be like sitting in the car chilling and chatting, and we always saw this Nissan Leaf driving around the neighborhood every single time, always driving erratically. And I'm like, who is this dude in this Nissan Leaf? And we would every night we would sit after shows or something, we would go and we would be sitting there wrapping up the night talking, and this Nissan Leaf would come pulling up and driving around very fast, either a John or a pimp.
Yeah.
He
was,
but I'm like, a pimp in a Nissan Leaf?
Sure.
You not pimping right, homie.
Or he is. Or he's the first one. He's going green.
or he's got like a pretty nice house. He's like, that's where it's all going.
I think he was the pimp because he would drive, and he would sometimes drive by my car and kind of like slow down and look in and just like pull off real fast.
Sure.
So I'm like, is he like looking for his girls or something like that?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't think a John would like stop and look at anybody's car.
Sure.
Yeah. I do. I have a police-y type car. I drive a Challenger, but cops don't drive Challengers; they drive Chargers.
Yeah.
But I think maybe people get those mixed up.
Like, yeah. If you squint, that's a police car.
I have a police-y type car too. I got one of those tanks with the battering ram on the front, and it goes like like 2 miles an hour.
Nice. Bought it in the 80s.
Yeah.
Tearing down people's houses.
Secondhand from that Contra shit. Yeah,
from somebody has 2 ounces of crack in their house.
Yeah.
Just want to have a good night.
Well, we went through the front, out the back.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dull.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us today, the very hilarious Carl Tart. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing good, dude. Good.
Thanks for doing the pod. You sound great. You have a great setup.
Thanks, man.
Great pod setup. This is nice. It feels like you're in my head.
There you go. That's what a lot of these people who listen to podcasts think. And they say,
Carl's my thoughts now.
And they DM me some crazy shit. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. I don't know you.
Some real John Lennon shit. Like, listen, I know it only feels like I'm talking directly to you, but that's just what that's headphones. That's how headphones work.
I'm sorry, man. Ain't no music.
But this time we are talking directly to you, Sean. I don't know. I was just rolling the dice in case there's a guy named Sean listening.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he's riding the subway. He just screamed out loud.
I hope he's not Mark David Chapman or whatever.
I hope you Mark David Chapman. Who is that?
The guy that killed John Lennon.
So who did John Hinckley shoot? That was Reagan, right?
Reagan.
Okay.
Because he loved Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
It's funny. I know it's like a crazy man killed was a.
Yeah, mental illness is nothing to laugh at, but that is like a scene missing. What?
Yeah, it feels like a Mad Lib.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill.
Filled out wrong.
Yeah. I'm gonna kill the governor for you, Big Bird. I'll do whatever you want.
Well. Well, this has nothing to do with the topic for today, but we were talking earlier. You guys are both sportsmen. You're both wearing Clippers stuff, Clippers Nation. I am notably not a sportsman.
You see a football, you try to eat it.
When I hear the Clippers are doing bad, I think like, oh no, their plane crashed and they're eating each other. It's a bad situation. But we found a way to kind of bridge the gap, and we're going to fight the characters of Jack Nicholson. Big basketball fan. He's always there.
And like Carl Tart, he's an LA icon.
LA icons.
We nailed it. But
we're going to do a lightweight fight, a middleweight fight, and a heavyweight fight between the Jacks Nicholson. Is that how you, that's like a plural.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Jacks.
Yeah, it's Nicholson. Like heads of state or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Now, as you guys are describing this, I am pulling up my Jack Nicholson
perfect
Wikipedia page because
absolutely
a little bit about me. I don't watch movies.
Here's the thing: not much of a Nicholson head myself. We're going on this journey together, man. All
right. Guys, I've been in a Nicholson phase. I'm leading.
But you know,
Carl, you don't watch movies. You're in entertainment.
I know. I don't like movies. I don't know what I'm doing in this. Listen, I got into this shit because it's extremely easy and it pays a lot of money.
Look, you don't have to love fire to be a fireman, Sam.
Exactly.
Well, Jordan, what do you think a fireman does?
I'm not sure. Well, he's a man made of fire, right? Mm-hmm. Fight fire with fire.
So if we've got any new listeners, here's how the podcast works. We talk about three matchups. We do lightweight, mm-hmm. middleweight, heavyweight, mm-hmm. and the weight classes are based on significance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're fighting the cast of Seinfeld, the lightweights, that's Peterman versus the soup Nazi. The heavyweights are George versus Jerry. So
George on Jerry action.
Hot George on Jerry action. I want to make sure this podcast gets flagged by mm-hmm. some agency. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we'll go in kind of the space they take up. Is weight class.
Yeah. So like who, like for instance, Jack Nicholson, what is a lightweight? I mean, he's a very heavyweight gentleman. He doesn't take a lot of lightweight roles, but who is a lightweight ass Jack Nicholson character?
Have you guys seen the movie Anger Management?
Yes. My brain went straight.
Yeah. There. I think that's a fun one. Dr. Buddy Rydell is that character. And he's almost like a full Looney Tune. He does like cartoon stuff.
I feel like that's almost too lightweight, where it's just like, I know nothing about that guy.
I think it's a great role. It's underrated.
Yeah, Anger
who
Management?
Else was in there with him? I watched the TV show Anger Management with Charlie Sheen.
Adam sure. Sandler.
Adam okay. Sandler.
I don't like movies, but I will watch any TV show that's yeah. from a movie. That's yeah. a remake.
Look, that was when I was trying to get back into movies, and I accidentally watched the TV show.
Season 3. This is a long movie. Charlie Sheen is really in this, isn't he?
Chewing in the scenery.
I think another, maybe Hoffa. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I do like Hoffa's biopic.
Shit, yeah. He was Hoffa, wasn't he?
Yeah. He'd then have Hoffa powers.
Hoffa powers?
He unites people. He's a union head. He deals with the mafia. He's a tough guy. Sure. And he might be buried in a... you know, the Mets stadium cement, but
yeah, I guess his primary power would be disappearing, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you definitely couldn't find him, but then he'd have to come back and he'd be vulnerable.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was in a movie in 1958.
What?
Yeah, he had like a whole career before he was famous. He's one of those guys.
Here we go. Nicholson first came to Hollywood in 1954 when he was 17 to visit his sister.
That is how you got in the movies back in the day. You'd be like, how'd you get in the movies? Oh, I was in the Army. That's how people get in the movies. They
just
were
like
in
I
the
just
Navy.
Told you, this shit is easy and you make a lot of money.
Yeah, Carl, you were paying a parking ticket. Someone was like, Jesus Christ, man, you're a great improviser.
You ought to be in pictures. I was like, all right.
Can you do that again? Slower?
With your shirt off?
This guy can wink on command.
Why is it windy now? I do feel like, yeah, it does feel like one of those things where it was like, I showed up on a Monday and they had me getting chased around the Paramount lot by a tiger on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, I showed up to visit my sister and just stayed for the movies.
That's not a bad Jack. That's fun.
Thanks, Sam.
Not bad at all.
Okay, so I think Hoffa's a fun one.
I like Hoffa. You know what? Hoffa. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. So one of the first roles that he was in, I don't know if you guys remember this. I'm not familiar with the movie itself, but he played the role that Steve Martin plays in the remake of Little Shop of Horrors, where he's like, or no, I guess it's Bill Murray in the remake, where he's like the dental patient who loves pain.
Oh, yeah. I guess that guy feels unbeatable in a fight
because you wouldn't be able to touch him.
I don't know how do you take that guy down?
Oh, you wouldn't be able to touch him the whole time, but he'd be like turned on by it.
Yeah. Every time you'd hit him, he'd get stronger and like hornier, and you'd be like, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah,
horny punches to the face guy is a good
yeah
man. Okay, if you can find that character's name, I am into talking about how that fight would go down. I have one more to throw out.
Okay, all right.
And it's another kind of more modern one. Jordan, you are a Mars Attacks guy, right?
Oh, buddy,
he's the president in Mars Attacks.
He is,
and he's like a very like he's a really Trumpian presence too. Like it feels very real.
He is. Weirdly, he very much is.
I'm one of those people that says the movies are like documentaries. I'm the guy that's like, yes, Idiocracy is real. That's my new thing. I'm gonna say that socially. That president, what is his name?
I'm gonna look it up right now. Carl, have you seen Mars Attacks?
No. Wait a minute.
Oh my god, it's
Mars
shit.
Attacks. That's the one. I don't remember him in that though.
Dude, that's
president
because he's
James Dale.
That's because he's wearing this. Yes. I'm gonna drop this in the Zoom chat. Check this link out. He's wearing this ridiculous, like, prosthetic nose, and he's like this fucking weird, yeah, like you say, like kind of weird right wing hillbilly, fucking kind of a Tiger King vibe on
him. Did not realize that was him.
Well, because he's also the regular president in the movie.
He also plays the regular president.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is like a blowhard coward.
Whoa, holy shit. Guys, I mean, I got to say it right here. Lightweight match, him as the president versus him as this guy.
I feel like him as the president who switches roles versus Hoffa because they can both disappear.
Okay.
Okay, y'all, I got to come clean again.
Go on.
I did not see Mars Attacks. I saw Starship Troopers.
Okay. Same director, right? They're both Verhoeven movies? Is that true?
No. Mars Attacks is Tim Burton. It was like one of the last like real good Tim Burtons before he was like, what if all my movies were just wigs?
It has like a Starship Troopers vibe. It's like very scathing about society. Starship Troopers
kicks ass. I just watched it again.
It's great.
It rocks. Holds up. Okay, I like it. I like lightweight Nicholson's. Hoffa versus the president from
President
Mars
James Dale. Yeah.
President James Dale. Okay. All right. So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa and Jack Nicholson as President James Dale?
If we're going strengths, strength for Hoffa, we talked about it a little bit.
He
was a leader of people. He could get people to do stuff for him, and he was slick with two groups: his union and the mob. He was balancing those well until a point, you know.
I don't think any president would be killed without ever knowing how they got killed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
JFK though.
They know how he got killed.
His head exploded.
Yeah, something happened to his head.
He didn't disappear.
That is a good point. I gotta say, so boy, I'm having trouble thinking of strengths for the president in that movie, because literally it's Jack Nicholson trying to be a statesman and failing at it. He is not inspirational.
Yeah, he's like a liar.
He's a liar. He's a coward. He's a president. Mm-hmm. he's a very Trumpian figure. And kind of like he gets the ray to the chest, right? Almost immediately.
Yeah. He does. I mean, he can dispatch the army theoretically, right?
He could dispatch the army. That'll stop all unions.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially that's a lot of American history.
Yeah. The one union that likes Jimmy Hoffa. They're done.
Yeah.
Because he only had support from one union, right?
Yeah, he was. What was he the head of? God damn it!
I'm also mixing it up with the Irishman.
Sure, did you, sure.
Did you see that, Carl?
I did see the Irishman.
There you go.
I get roasted because people know that I don't watch movies, and they go, and so you decided to watch the longest movie. Yeah.
The movie takes by far the most commitment, but I get it. If you're not watching other movies, you got the time.
I watched the Irishman on a rainy early quarantine day. Being like, yeah, we'll be back to work in 2 weeks. Let me watch the Irishman. So I can go back and discuss it in the office. This was like, you remember it rained in like mid-March?
Yeah.
I watched the Irishman. I was like cleaning my house and just had the Irishman on. And was just kind of listening to it on every TV that I got. And which is only two. That sounded elitist.
That sounded like you had a lot of house to clean.
Yeah. Cleaning my house, had it on every single TV I own. No, I just kind of had it playing on Netflix on both televisions.
The first movie I watched of quarantine was Spencer Confidential. I didn't give it enough thought. Oh. And I watched the Mark Wahlberg Netflix. I was like, yeah, something light. I don't know. The world seems pretty serious right now, but this will lighten the mood. And then, the mood.
I do feel like that is like, we'll be done in 2 weeks. So I started watching The Irishman. And 2 weeks later, I finally finished The Irishman. And it was not, we weren't back to work.
Yeah, I watched 12 minutes a day. I watched 12 minutes of the movie a day. By the time I'm done with it, baby, we back in the game.
Yeah,
nobody's sick.
Yeah. I should be able to finish this shit. So I'm thinking in a physical fight, I think the President James Dale is going to be able to take Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Hoffa was simply an older Nicholson, man.
Mars Attacks comes out 4 years after Hoffa.
No, I know, but the character himself.
Oh, yeah. He played up a little bit, for sure.
Because how old was Hoffa when he died?
He's like in his 50s. A Pacino believable amount.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
I think he'd be able to take him. Looking at them. I mean, but Hoffa could have, those Martians in his pocket. He could be like, hey, I made a deal.
That president's got a little bit more energy. a little bit. He's older. He knows a little bit more tricks. He probably been in a couple fights since he filmed Hoffa. Like, you know, I think he's good.
For sure.
I think you're right. I think you nailed it when you say energy. You look at him and he looks more alive. He looks like he's almost a caged animal. You know, these Martians are at the fucking doorstep.
Yeah.
What am I going to do about it? I think he's got more of a fight in him. And weaknesses, laser beams, as we know. And Jimmy Hoffa, he's not packing laser beams. My guy doesn't have a laser beam.
He's
got a ballpoint pen.
Yeah. He's giving your address to some goon. That's his main thing. Weaknesses for Hoffa. Was killed. Can be disappeared.
Size 7 cement shoes.
Yeah. Where do you think Hoffa is?
I heard he was under a home plate in, what is it? Like some baseball field. Yankee Stadium.
MetLife?
I think it's the Mets. The Mets.
Where do the Mets?
City Field?
They don't play at MetLife. City Field. That's what it is.
City Field. Yeah, that's the fun rumor. There's no way because it's too fun. No fun conspiracy is true. Just the bad ones.
How old is City Field though? City Field is from 2009, so they would have had to dig him up. And
Shea Stadium, is that what it is?
Yeah, Shea Stadium.
Shea Stadium's the old one. Okay.
Yeah, no, they move him.
He's in there.
They take him where the money goes.
Yeah, guys, we got to put Hoffa in the new one. It's tradition, and we got to get him in there.
I do love the idea that they have to move Hoffa every single time. I mean, I could make it funner. There's funner places he could be. He's in the ball that they drop every New Year's. That's him in there.
Yeah, he's what makes the ball go down.
He's what makes it go down.
The sheer weight of his.
Yeah.
You know Warner Brothers Studios? You know the water tower where the Warner Brothers live? Nah. It's Jimmy Hoffa in there.
The Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot?
Yeah.
And the corpse of Jimmy Hoffa rotting in the corner.
Wacko Jimmy Hoffa Dot. That's what that's the secret history of Animaniacs. The middle one is Jimmy Hoffa. All right, I think I'm ready to vote.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, okay, you go, Sam.
I'll go. Then we'll have Carl go, and then Jordan, you.
Okay.
Seal it off, because I wonder if you and I are on the same wavelength.
Okay.
I think Nicholson as president beats Nicholson as Hoffa, because he knew how to play the game. He just kept advancing and advancing until he was president, and then Martians are a real, you know. Deus Ex, like you can't fight a Martian laser beam, certainly, but like I don't know, Hoffa perished by conventional means. So
there's truly no way to plan for a Martian laser beam.
So I guess my vote is for President James Dale.
Okay, fair.
Carl?
I'm gonna go with my boy Hoffa because I know him a little better. I know him a little better being that AI I've seen that film.
Sure. You got to watch Mars Attacks. It's great.
I'm not going to do that, brother, but I appreciate you.
Okay.
I'm going to watch I'm going to watch 1 minute of Mars Attacks for the next 120 days.
For the next 90 days. All right. I got to give it to the president. I think seeing aliens changes a person. I think he's backed into a corner. I think he's going to lash out. I think the president takes it. President, what was his name? James Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
James Dale looks like Dale Earnhardt in these pictures.
He does. Yeah. Or do you remember Richard Petty? Also like a crazy cowboy hat guy.
Is that may be who I'm thinking about.
Yeah. I don't know why I have that pull. I've never watched a car race in my life, but I do think that, cause I remember he had like, he was like, here's my son who looks just like me. And everyone's like, that can't be right. They're the same age.
I think that's who I'm thinking about is Richard Petty.
He also, I think, died in a fiery wreck.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's weird how that happens. Those guys,
you drive your car real fast.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our lightweight. President James Dale takes it. Congratulations to him.
Well, hey, hang on, let me finish. He's still alive. He wasn't a fiery wreck, but he refused to die, and now he's an undying spirit of vengeance. He's the Ghost Rider. Okay, fellas. Middleweight Nicholsons. Who are your Middlesons? Hey, all right.
That's the kind of wordplay that's going to get us on a
kind
of registry.
Now we already fought this guy once, but I'm going to throw him out there. Wolf Nicholson from Wolf. He's a werewolf. He's Jack Nicholson.
What he's going through middle age.
He's going through middle age, male menopause as a metaphor. Yeah.
Very funny use of a werewolf.
Yes.
Certainly not a cool one.
I'm going to go with Melvin Udall from As Good As It Gets. Another film that I have seen. My aunt didn't have cable at her house. And when I was filming at her house, I just had to watch whatever tapes she had. And As Good As It Gets was the funniest tape.
There you go.
As Good As It Gets and Jerry Maguire.
Man, we had... I talk about this all the time. Like, I had a quiver of like 6 or 7 VHSs that we just wore out. And like, it was like Wayne's World, Mrs. Doubtfire, Almost an Angel with Paul Hogan, which is a weird like post Crocodile Dundee thing that he did. And then like all the Disney movies.
As Good As It Gets and Jerry Maguire, both just like sincere quote comedies. About having a mature relationship that's slightly unconventional. That's very funny. That's like, those are the two funniest movies in the collection.
Sure.
I just rewatched Chinatown. Throw out Jake Guinness.
Yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. Great movie. And fun. You know, he gets his ass kicked that entire movie. He's in some fights.
He gets his nose sliced.
Yeah. That's such a bizarre punishment.
But think about that shit. Have you ever like been digging for a booger and like kind of like nipped yourself a little bit? Yeah. Like, damn.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like, imagine that happening with a knife.
Oof. Or like when you get like a zit on the rim of your nose and you're like, this hurts. I can't imagine anything hurting worse than this.
Yes.
And I can.
In the movie, Roman Polanski plays the guy who cuts his nose.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Roman Polanski is obviously like a bad person. And one example of this is he kept for real cutting him.
Whoa.
Like, not like all the way, but he'd kind of scare him. He'd like get it too close. And so he'd have an actual like pained, scared reaction.
Cool.
And it's like, hey, it's just a movie.
Yeah. What a terrible guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably
really
the worst.
Really a demon.
Yeah,
that's like, really fucked up.
Fuck that dude.
Stop smiling. Stop cackling, you freak.
We'll say it here. Terrifying. On Fight Island, we don't like Roman Polanski.
We're going to stand up and say it.
Hot take.
I like that. I like Jake, although famously he has to let it go, you know?
He does have to let it go until 1990 when he films a terrible movie called The Two Jakes, which makes no sense and is a giant bomb. He basically made The Two Jakes because everyone else that made Chinatown, their life fell apart, and he's like trying to throw him a lifeline. He was like the only one that succeeded after that. Anyway.
What about Few Good Men?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Nicholson.
Someone Can't Handle the Truth, etc.
Sure.
What are his traits? Because I've not seen the movie for a long time. He's like mad.
Yeah.
And he's
in
the army.
Yeah, he's a bastard. He's towing the company line. He's willing to put, you know, the good of the nation before the good of the individual. All that kind of stuff.
I think we kind of had a political figurehead type, so.
Fair.
Carl, have you ever seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No. I've seen clips from it.
Yeah, sure. It's not that hard to. You'll get it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What's that character's name? McMurphy.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
McMurphy.
Yeah. McMurphy. He's, yeah. Is he in there for like punching a cop or something?
Oh, no. He's in there. He like punches a cop and they tell him he can go to jail or he can go to the insane asylum. So he like pleads insanity and gets put in there. And he's not really crazy, but he's there.
Is that where Nurse Ratched is from?
Yes.
Okay.
I like that a lot. I like it so much that I feel like he's a heavyweight.
McMurphy? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very signature role. The coolest a white guy has looked in that kind of hat ever.
What kind of hat is he wearing?
It's like a beanie that like turns up, but it's you see anyone wearing it now, they just look like Marv. It's before like Home Alone stole that kind of style of beanie.
He was a cool motherfucker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I like that beanie on white guys, especially if they have like longer hair. I think
he looks like he's smuggling caviar or something. Like I'd buy smuggled Russian goods from this guy.
I got to see these movies.
This is what did it. We finally got car watch movies.
Beanies, I'm in.
Got to evaluate some hats.
So in The Witches of Eastwick, my dude Jack Nicholson plays the devil.
Okay.
And I kind of like.
I've not seen it.
I mean, what more do you need? He's playing Nicholson.
Okay, he's the devil. Yeah.
Also, how can we forget about this? The Joker, man.
That was my heavyweight.
That's your heavyweight?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put a thumb in the Joker. How about middleweight is
Guinness?
Yes. The guy Jake from Chinatown versus Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest guy.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Okay. What's that guy's name?
McMurphy.
So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Jake from Chinatown and McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Sam?
strengths for Jake.
Mm-hmm.
He can take some heat. Mm. He gets his ass whooped that whole film.
That's a good trait.
Taking body shots, wearing a big ass bandage on his face the whole time.
Being able to take those hits, you know, 9 times out of 10, win those fights on Fight Island.
He's Carl, go ahead.
No, you had something to say.
He's driven. He wants to. If he's got a goal, he's gonna pursue it in spite of himself. Almost. That's a good fighting thing, right? That's what they always say about all the good fighters.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of his fighting moves are going to be just like standing around being gritty about shit, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think I think brooding isn't necessarily a strength.
On Fight Island, it could be.
Could it? Can he brood his way?
He broods so powerfully that it's a Street Fighter characteristic.
I'm a little bit torn on this one.
I mean, my gut goes straight to the dude from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest because
mine
by the end of this thing, he's freaking out. He's shouting, he's crying out. He's saying that, you know, nobody should have to put up with this. And he ends up getting lobotomized. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys.
Damn. I ain't got to watch it now. a person who punches a cop has a lot of privilege.
Mm.
And I don't think anybody who has privilege can fight.
It's good. It's a point.
That might have nailed it. Yeah. There's a chance McMurphy was kind of a like post 60s hippie that just, it's like, I can punch a cop.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And yeah. He's crying before he gets lobotomized. If he was a real G, you'd take that lobotomy. He'd be like, take my lobotomy. Go ahead. I don't need to think to whoop that ass.
I'm fucking hard as nails. I got lobotomized 3 times this year. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Man,
have y'all took it yet? Is my brain out yet? Can we hurry this up?
Yeah.
Jeopardy comes on 7:30.
Yeah. Hurry up in Frankenstein. Let's get on with this.
Honestly, I feel better. I feel like the brain was getting in the way. I feel like I freed up some space.
I need to lose a little weight.
It's all brain weight, man. You get it back.
You look good. You look good. Why do you look so good?
Got my head's a bitter.
Oh, like you know,
like a concave head.
Your eyes look vacant.
Yeah. They scooped the whole thing out, man. That's why the Frankenstein scar. That's why the big bolts.
Jake Gittes was a cop before he's a private investigator.
He was a cop. He's a gumshoe.
And I think there's a chance he was in World War I, maybe.
Interesting.
Just of that era, because it's the 30s, right? And he's like a little older.
Sure.
So he maybe has some combat training.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
But, you know, he's bitter. He may also want to throw in the towel. It kind of depends where in the movie you get Jay.
Well, hey, listen, that's the same of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because at the start, like Carl says, he's this entitled piece of shit who's like, oh, whatever, I'll ride out my dime in an institution and it won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. And then he gets there and he finds something bigger than himself worth fighting for. I think by the end, when he takes that lobotomy, he's a better person, whereas it could be argued that Jake is a worse, more jaded person.
What is this movie about? So he punches a cop and he gets put into a mental institution.
Yeah. So like he pleads, they say he can go to jail or he can be institutionalized, and he chooses to be institutionalized because he thinks it'll be an easier float.
Hold on, wait a second, y'all. I think we're taking out I just read this. Okay. In 1963, Oregon, a recidivist malefactor is moved to a mental institution after serving a short sentence on a prison farm for several charges of assault and statutory rape.
Oh.
Oh,
he
man. Just doesn't
Why did they lobotomize him, though?
So he kind of comes up to contention with this woman, Nurse Ratchet, who's like in control of the place in like a fucked up way. Like she's like the type of person who will like cut your medication or something because you like wronged her personally, or like
she's got weird personal vendettas and like picks on like Danny DeVito's character and stuff.
Yeah. And then he starts like standing up for them, and then it becomes this clash between them. And by the end, she has the power to get him. Snip, snip. Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
It's wild.
Yeah. He also has this big silent Native American buddy who's like seven feet tall.
The chief.
And he sets the chief free, which is cool.
Well, no, the chief, I mean, how?
Oh,
I mean,
no.
In for a penny, in for a pound. Do I tell about the ending?
Yeah, we're going to tell Carl every detail of this movie.
All right, Carl, you are off the hook for ever having to watch this movie, because we're going to tell you what happens. Jake, or no, what's his name?
McMurphy.
McMurphy. He takes the lobotomy for his like his buddy or something. I don't know. He dives in front of the lobotomy. and the chief, after he comes back, he sees him like this and he's all lobotomy, you know, he's like staring into the middle distance. And the chief, who hasn't spoken a word in like something like 15 years, comes up and he's like, hey, hey. And he doesn't respond to him. So he takes a pillow and he smothers him and he kills the guy who got lobotomized, and then he pulls a fountain out of the wall and throws it through a window and walks leaves. Off into the sunset, and that's how it ends.
Okay. So I'm Googling the chief.
Yeah. Because honestly, if we're imagining these characters as like Mortal Kombat characters, you better believe McMurtry's one of his moves, like his finishing move, is going to be the chief coming in and like smothering you with a pillow or something, you know?
Sure. Yeah, if he can use the chief once, he has one chief card.
Sure.
Yeah, but you got to get him lobotomized first. You can't.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. It's like a last resort move.
No, it's like a bar that you build up throughout the fight. Yeah. And like when you hit the end of it, it's like lobotomized, and then the chief, you can play as the chief, and he jumps in.
He was 6'7", the guy who played him.
Yeah, enormous.
Yeah. Not that bad. I'm 6'7".
Is that true? 6'7"?
No.
I was like, I don't think I know how tall anyone is then.
Yeah, man. It's hey, I'm 9 feet tall.
Yeah. I'm 9'4".
Yeah. I'm a slow guy. I'm like 5'3".
As I pick up like a tiny pear on the Zoom call and eat it in one bite. I live in a castle in the clouds. What? Okay, so I mean I know who I'm pulling. I think that in this fight, I think that wild card of having all of these people, of having grown as a person, of knowing the sacrifice, of knowing what it means to care about something that's other than yourself. He's got stuff to fight for, man. Mm-hmm. McMurtry's got stuff to fight for. He's got people he's fighting for. He sees Danny DeVito in the crowd at the Fight Island fight. He sees the chief there. He's there. The chief is cheering. The chief doesn't talk, but he's like, you, I'll do it for you. You know, they're pals.
Yeah.
And, you know, who does Jake have? Nobody, Jake. Forget it.
Yeah.
It's Chinatown, baby. Yeah, I'm giving it to Cuckoo's Nest, Nicholson.
All right,
man. Go ahead, Sam.
All right, I'm gonna go the opposite. I'm gonna give it to Jake Geddes. He's got that old timey grit. He's Hollywood in the 30s. He boxes with his fist pointed back at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can take a licking. Where I do think McMurphy's his physical prowess and what we learned from Carl reading the Wikipedia, he's actually more of a creep than we thought. I don't like giving him this fight. Where Jake, you know, he also has a checkered past, but he. I think he's grittier. I think he's angrier.
Yeah.
I think maybe having less to lose is even better. He's like more of a kind of a nihilist, and he's just mad at the system, and I think he's just more formidable, just tough, you know, toughness, old timey toughness.
You might have swayed me, honestly.
Carl, what do you think?
I'm going with Jake Geddes too.
All right,
I'm going with Jake Geddes because. I've seen that. And also, I think he'll just last more rounds. Like, he'll be at the end. Like, that's all you got? And other dudes like, man, I'm out this fight, man. I'm getting lobotomized.
Yeah.
You know what that vote is, Jordan? It's two Jakes.
Two Jakes. That's the vote. It's the two Jakes. Oh, no. All right, you got it.
Make two McMurphys.
That's true.
Yeah. There's not a follow-up called the two McMurphys.
Me and the Chief. Oh no.
It's my giant, just him and the Chief.
Yeah, that's really the Chief's story, I feel.
I never saw my giant.
McMurtry's just kinda there. Okay, ding ding ding. Jake takes it. Jake for the win. All right, I feel like for the heavyweight, we gotta make sure that we pick two that Carl has seen. Because it's the only way to intercept the "that's the one I've seen" rule.
I'd like to point out, Carl's done a pretty good job for not having seen.
I will say, for a guy who doesn't watch movies,
really deducing some things. Carl, have you seen the Jack Nicholson Batman?
A little bit. I've seen it on like TNT.
Sure,
that's kind of all you need from that one.
Well, yeah, honestly,
I've seen it on Silent in the Bar. That's what I have. I've seen it on Silent in the Bar.
You know, I feel like Nicholson is one of those things. So, because I'm not much of a Nicholson head, and when Sam suggested this one, I was like, I guess I've just absorbed enough Nicholson through being alive that I could probably pull this off. And I think the Joker Nicholson is one of those. Mm-hmm. That like everybody knows that joke. That scene where he's dancing to that weird Prince song that you can't find anywhere else but that movie.
I think he performed that song on SNL.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I gotta find that.
That's out there. That's definitely out there.
What's the song called?
I'm not sure.
It's like Think Big or something, where everybody's getting the cash.
Yeah.
And he's gassing them with the Joker toxin. That movie rocked.
Is it Electric Chair?
Maybe. Hold up.
I'm going to throw one out while Jordan's looking this up. The Shining, Jack Torrance.
Oh, yeah.
A literally insane guy with an axe. And maybe also can shift through time. We don't totally know. But he's like he's very formidable. Any chance you've seen The Shining, Carl?
I have seen The Shining.
Oh, nice. There we go.
Yeah, I have seen that, and I mess with The Shining.
Yeah, yeah. That movie is great, and he's such a legitimately scary character.
Whoa.
Like, he's like a terrifying dude.
Did Prince do the entire Batman soundtrack?
Yeah, he did a lot of it.
Holy shit.
I just sent you the link to him on SNL.
Oh, this is incredible.
And there's a huge Batman symbol in the back, so I'm assuming he's singing that song.
Yeah. Look, I'm reading this right now. First of all, one of the first things on Google is, why did Prince do the Batman soundtrack?
Why not?
That's
rad. Yeah. That's some wild amount of like product integration from SNL, I guess. It feels like they really let him drive the ship, but why wouldn't they?
It's Prince does 1990. Every single kind of music.
Prince is one of those guys who's like, his personal code of ethics for what he would do and wouldn't do is inscrutable.
Well, Yeah, was it cool? Did it seem fucking rad?
He would be like, I won't be in anything with a vampire because it contradicts my religious beliefs. But at the same time, I want to be the face of Domino's or something. Yeah. You know?
I want to be the new Noid.
Yeah. Oh, man, could you imagine Prince's take on the Noid? The sultry sexual Noid that he would bring?
Get Noid. 23 positions in a one-night stand. Get Noid.
Oh, man, I want to fuck the Noid now, I guess.
See, I was the end of that Noid.
I did not see this coming.
Oh, here it is. Get Noid. 22 pepperonis in a one-night stand.
See, now we just don't get to live in that reality.
Yeah. I'm mourning its loss. It's
when you think about that Batman, though, wasn't that Batman Tim Robbins?
Tim Burton.
What's his name? Tim Burton. Not mm-hmm. Tim Robbins. Also, 8'4". Tall guy.
He's a monster. He grabs birds right out of the air.
Yeah. What's it called? That Tim Burton... Like Batman is like weird, and every building is weird, and all the cars are crazy.
Yeah,
like absolutely. At that time, Prince's music was like entering a new, like it was still like Prince stuff, like the kind of rock, like rock hip hop mixed with like that was the new Jack Swing era. So all these beats are kind of like boom to dump, kind to dump, boom to. It's just like it fit that like him Prince doing the whole soundtrack to that particular movie is not weird at all.
It's not, honestly.
It really fits.
Weirdly enough, so him doing one song in that movie is weird. Him doing the entire soundtrack is exactly on point for Prince.
Yeah.
I could see him being like, no, I'm not going to do one song. I'll do them all. everybody else leave.
I want to play Bane. And they're like, who is Bane?
He's like the Noid.
He's like the Noid.
He's like great big Noid.
Okay, what the fuck were we talking about? Okay, the Joker.
I'm laughing really hard.
The Joker. Okay, wait. While we're on Prince, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about. Have you seen him playing "While My Guitar Gently Weeps"? And he throws the guitar into the rafters, and it disappears.
Really?
I'll look at that immediately after
this. If you're talking about Prince YouTube videos, it's at like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, and it's like him and Tom Petty and like fucking George Harrison and whoever else on stage, and Prince comes out and fucking tears apart this solo, and at the end of it he throws the guitar up into the rafters, and it's like the devil took it. It is insane. It's crazy. I've never been able to figure it out.
That's awesome.
Hilarious.
As well.
Okay, so definitely Jack Nicholson, Joker should be
in
there.
I think
Jack Torrance from The Shining.
Two Jacks.
Yeah, I mean, Here's Johnny is maybe like the most famous movie frame.
Sure.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Plus two like evil dudes, good at murder.
Mm.
I think it's a good matchup.
Remember when the Joker fries that dude with a joy buzzer? He electrocutes him.
That freaked me out as a kid so much. I genuinely was like afraid of shaking hands for a second.
Oh no.
It's like, I don't know what's in their hand. Why would I shake their hand? It could be a thing that electrocutes you.
What if he pranks me to death?
Yeah.
That was one of the first movies that I wasn't allowed, my brother was allowed to go and I wasn't.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Brutal.
And then they came back and he told me all about it.
Is that Batman?
Yeah.
That Batman came out
89.
June 19th, 1989. I was 6 months old.
6 months?
So I did not see it either.
Mm-hmm. You were not allowed to go.
I was not allowed to go.
At 6 months. I did not see The Shining until like last year. I knew about it from The Simpsons, which is how I knew every horror movie. I hadn't seen any horror movies until after I'd seen every Treehouse of Horror.
I watch everything that Scatman Crothers is in.
You're a real scathead.
Yeah, I'm a scathead.
He likes that beep and bop. Okay, the question before us, gentlemen, I'm locking it in. Who would win in a fight between Jack Nicholson's The Joker and Jack Torrance from The Shining?
I'm going with The Joker.
Gut says Joker. Right out of the gate, I say Joker, but boy, see? Okay. All right, break it. Sam, break it down. Strengths and weaknesses, so, The
strengths.
Joker.
Strengths, The Joker, obviously. Super villain.
He's mad.
Maniac, bloodthirsty, violent. Doesn't, you know, I mean, is to the point, maniacally violent to the point of trying to be a showman about it. He's, you know, he's got a lot of goons he can throw at you.
It's got goons.
And unlike Hoffa, I mean, those goons truly are at his beck and call. He's just, that's how Batman villains do it. They're just like, yeah. I control these goons. They're my goons. They never question me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and in that movie, I mean, he's really got a, he does have like a terrifying charisma.
He does.
Yeah, I think, I look at like Jack Nicholson in The Shining and he's possessed by the devil, but the devil, when he possesses you, only just makes you super evil. You're still just a regular ass human.
You are a regular ass.
Yeah, you can't
you don't have no powers. Yeah, you don't have no powers. You don't have like a pitchfork that shoots lightning. So it really, honestly, like, you can't beat the Joker. However, does the Joker in that movie actually kill people?
Yeah, he kills like his old boss. He fries a dude with a joy buzzer. He has like a joke handshake thing. And then I think he kills his like strange girlfriend. He like puts acid on her so she becomes like a monster like him. And then I think he kills her.
Okay, so if he's actually killing people, because I didn't know if it was one of those things where it's like he just hurts people in really crazy ways.
Yeah.
Then like they like, you know, kind of roll out of it like the A-Team. Like,
right. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
He definitely kills people. And boy, that's a good point. Jack Torrance, try as he might, he really only kills that one guy, doesn't he?
He's not even good at killing his kid.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That kid, in a pure Fight Island scenario, that kid's not beating anyone.
Yeah, but okay. But I mean, he does have like, I mean, if you're talking about two crazy dudes, mm-hmm. he's fucking crazy. He's crazy to the point where he's like, I'll kill my family mm-hmm. for a drink. I got an axe. We're talking about an axe murderer versus just a straight murderer. But I mean, in that, even in that fight, you bring an axe to the gunfight.
Yeah. Is the shining ghost that lives in that house, is it kind of on his side? Like, I wonder if it's like showing the Joker like things that scare him.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Is the Joker scared of that stuff, though?
Yeah. Or is the Joker just like, this is sick. I really like all this.
See, that's the thing.
The Joker just takes over that hotel and moves in.
Right?
Yeah.
Fires Batman Crothers. Eats those Oreos that are in the kitchen. You guys ever notice that about that movie? They have Oreos in their kitchen.
Yeah.
I wonder, did they have to pay for that?
I feel like that's probably one of those things where Oreos like asked them. You know, because that was like, that was the era of fucking product placement. Like,
1980?
Oh, well, like E.T.?
Yeah, remember, 1980. Yeah.
Remember the little peanut, the Reese's Pieces. Yeah. They make them
remember
for
E.T. Remember that guy in the dog costumes blowing that other guy? And he goes, I love Oreos. That's a great scene.
Drink Pepsi. But that is a good point, because I feel like Jack Torrance would have the spirits of this place on his side and he would be able to kind of, you know, bend them to his diabolical will. But at the same time, the Joker's going to love it. He's going to laugh. Yeah. And like Carl says, he's going to rise to the top.
I would argue, okay, because Carl's voting Joker. I'm going to vote Jack Torrance just for a little dissension here. And I think it's what's securing it for me is Jack Nicholson's Joker. He's a little more conventional. He's crazy, but he's not like the anarchist like Heath Ledger is, or the super lame guy like the Jared Leto Joker. He is kind of a more conventional gangster. Yeah. So I think maybe he could be scared by like ghosts and stuff, and then maybe gets an axe to the head. I don't know. I'm gonna go with Jack Torrance. That's my vote.
See, I feel like, oof. I don't want to be the guy who's like, the Joker's unbeatable, because that's not a good look for me.
That sounds like you have to start the Hot Topic podcast.
Yeah, that feels like that's what it says on my chain wallet. But if you're not Batman, you're just not going to beat the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Joker's weakness is Batman. It's not Jack Torrance. It's not the devil. It's not getting scared in a snowy hotel. It's Batman. Although maybe the devil could show him Batman, but I even feel like the Joker would be like, that's not my bats or something. Like some weird preternatural connection. Yeah. I got to go to the Joker. Carl, did you vote Joker officially?
Yeah, I'm voting the Joker.
Ding, ding, ding. Joker takes it. Heavyweight. Nicholson's. It was the Joker. It was the Joker from Jump Street.
Yeah. And I think in all in our minds, that is also a very, like,
formidable
Nicholson.
Honestly, I thought when you said Jack Torrance, I was like, okay, if somebody could take the Joker, it would be this axe wielding fucking man.
Or About Schmidt.
Or Melvin Udo.
He would annoy the Joker.
He would annoy the Joker so much. I've seen that movie. He would annoy the Joker so much that he would just like be like, oh my God, I'm out of here. Fine.
I gotta go. You win.
He seduces the Joker. They have a meaningful relationship.
They get into the hot tub together.
Yeah, about Schmidt, that hot tub scene. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me a man too, Sam. Don't worry.
It's really shocking if you're 12.
Oh no! Sometimes old people are naked.
Yeah,
Carl.
Wait, was that with him and Kathy Bates?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Kathy Bates showing them things.
Ooh. Yeah. making that soup, making that mothball soup. Get in there, guys.
Boy, did I have stuff to talk about at middle school for the whole rest of the year.
Carl, thank you so much for joining us, man. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks for having me, y'all. Really appreciate it.
Carl, do you have anything to plug right now?
Yeah, man. Listen to the Flagrant Ones. It's on Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/theflagrantones. It's me, Sean Clemens, and Hayes Davenport. We're talking about hoops, baby. Hoops are back. And they might be a little whack.
They're back. They're whack. It's going to be great. Hockey's back. Is football coming back? Baseball was back. Football.
If any sport is going to come back with no guidelines,
it's going to be football. I cannot wait
to see quarterbacks just getting sacked by coughs.
Oh God! Licking their fingers, touching the balls.
Yeah. He's being chased by a cloud of disease. That can't be good.
Baseball. All defensive ends are just Corona dragons.
Baseball was back, and then they fucked it up. They were like, "Oh no, never mind."
Yeah, my team went to something stupid like a barbecue house, and 13 St. Louis Cardinals got COVID. So
no,
did they cancel? Did they cancel the season?
No. It's been isolated to like three teams, so they're suspending those teams' games, and then they're gonna do double headers. So, but who knows? If they can't contain it now, it's like, what are they going to contain it later when it gets worse?
It's wackadoo. And yet we sally forth. Wash your hands. Take care of your friends. Be safe, everybody.
Carl, speaking of Patreon, we also have a Patreon.
What?
3 bonus episodes a month. You subscribe for $4. You email us topics you want to hear. We'll do them on the Patreon. It's a lot of fun. We're getting some good emails, good submissions from people. Also follow us on Twitter and send us emails at fightisland@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And we were always actively looking for somebody to, score and, edit a new intro for us because we don't want to get sued and neither do you. We will pay you.
That is important. Yeah. If you feel up to it, like you could make the new Fight Island intro, we'll give you money. Let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. Carl Tart, thank you so much for visiting us here. What were you gonna say, Sam? You got one more?
You and I both have two more things to plug before we bail.
Jesus Christ, you have better than heroes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you go. You do mine, I'll do yours.
Oh, because when this comes out, my comedy album will be out. It's called Regular Guy Out of Hell, and you can get it on Spotify.
Absolutely. And I am on Twitch every Monday, 7 p.m. Better Than Heroes. It's a live D&D game in space. Check it out. Until next time, Sam, why don't you count us down?
One, two, three.
All right, that's it for Fight Island.
Shit's like a way to block shots. Style's way to let my lyrics annoy. If you're holding up the wall.